Welcome to 10 for 20, a celebration of the music of Nirvana. I'm here at Centennial College in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and you're listening to this via Centennial's on-demand internet radio station. My name is Stephen James May, and for the next hour or so, I'm going to be playing 10 Nirvana songs to mark the 20th anniversary of the death of Kurt Cobain. April 8th, 1994 was the day that the news of Kurt Cobain's lifeless body being found in Seattle, Washington. I was a big Nirvana fan, a 19-year-old Nirvana fan at the time, and it was a bad day. But the music of Nirvana is still with us, and so I figure it'd be a fitting way to mark the date to remember Cobain by playing these 10 songs. So the song that I started off with was Even in His Youth. Now, that album was re-recorded and re-released as one of the so-called B-sides from the Smells Like Teen Spirit single. You may have heard of that song, Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. But the version I just played there was a 1989 recording by Steve Fisk in Seattle, made in Seattle in 1989 at Music Source Studios. Steve Fisk from the band Pigeonhead and other bands, but he recorded that version of Even in His Youth, and that's got Chad Channing on drums. Of course, Dave Grohl would become the final drummer of Nirvana, Kurt Cobain on vocals and guitar, Chris Novoselic on bass, and later Pat Smear on rhythm guitar or second guitar. But at any rate, I got to stay on track here. I really like that version of Even in His Youth. It's kind of a perfect example. I thought it was a nice song to start the special off with, because it's got that, you know, growling kind of wall of noise introduction that Nirvana did so well. But then it gets into this really poppy rock song, you know, in the spirit of a Beatles song, which was one of the many influences, a band that was one of the many influences of Nirvana. And so really, I mean, that's why Nirvana is my favorite band, and why Nirvana, one of the reasons why the band really got me interested in music and what made me such a big fan is it was, they made pop songs, but that had this real life to them, and really fun, energy-filled pop songs. And so I'm going to be playing some selections, basically, so trying to get all the songs down to, trying to only pick 10 songs was pretty tricky for me. And one of the things that helped me narrow it down was all the songs I'm playing are original Nirvana songs. Nirvana did some great covers, but these are all original Nirvana songs. And really, they're just songs that I had a connection, that I have a connection to, and that I maybe have a bit of a story attached to. Quickly, Even in His Youth, I always wonder, you know, who's Kurt singing about there? Even in His Youth, it sounds like he's maybe talking about us as fans, you know, men and women. But also, you know, it sounds a bit autobiographical there in terms of maybe some feelings he was having as a youth, and, you know, what are we doing with our lives? What impact are we having? And how do friends and family and the world sort of perceive us? You know, I guess sort of the idea that we size people up at a young age and we figure that, oh, even in their youth, they were kind of nothing. And so I think Kurt was maybe working through that, identifying with the other and maybe celebrating it a bit. So before I get to the next track here, I just wanted to say that a focus on the show of the, you know, featuring the music of Nirvana and Kurt Cobain, you know, you can't really do a show on the band without mentioning mental health, seeing that Kurt committed suicide. And the Canadian Mental Health Association here in Canada, their motto is mental health for all. And I really like that slogan, that motto, and I couldn't agree more. And so if anyone out there is listening to this show, you know, and you're having a mental health crisis, you're feeling suicidal, keep in mind that you can call 911. It's an emergency after all, right? So people call 911 when they've broken their arm, they've got a really high fever, they're bleeding, there's something terrible, they call 911 for help. Heck, the mayor of Toronto, Rob Ford, he calls 911 when the media are outside. So if you're feeling suicidal, if you're having a mental health crisis, call 911. It's okay to do that because it's an emergency. I want to get to the next track here. This is a track, a split single that Nirvana did with a band called the Jesus Lizard. This song's called Oh the Guilt, and it was put out by Touch and Go Records. Nirvana was already signed to DGC, David Geffen Company, Geffen Records, at the time, but whatever, they did this split single with the Jesus Lizard. Jesus Lizard front person, David Yao, an influence of Cobain's from a bands like Scratch Acid. And so when Nirvana really took off, they really, you know, dragged a lot of their favorite bands into the spotlight with them, and the Jesus Lizard was one of them, and just a really great band. But anyways, this is Nirvana's song from that single, split single, called Oh the Guilt. And I really like this version because although there are versions released on, say, the compilation, the With the Lights Out, it's a different version on that collection. This split single, which I actually bought on eBay for this show, there's a lighter, like a Bic lighter, is being used as a percussion instrument. And you can hear it flicking at the beginning to the beat. And in some other versions of the song I've heard, they took the Bic lighter out. And like, the lighter's what makes this song. I think it's awesome. So let's listen to Oh the Guilt from this is a 1992 recording. It was recorded by Barrett Jones at Laundry Room Studios. And it was released in 1993 on a split single with the Jesus Lizard. Here is Oh the Guilt, and you're listening to 10 for 20, a celebration of the music of Nirvana on Centennial College's internet radio station. There we go. We'll be right back. All right. So did you hear the lighter? That was "Oh the Guilt" by Nirvana from the Nirvana the Jesus Lizard split single "Oh the Guilt Puss" on Touch and Go Records, released in 1993. You are listening to 10 for 20, a celebration of the music of Nirvana. I'm sort of rambling off the top there, so I'm going to keep going here. Of course, I have to play "Smells Like Teen Spirit." Why do I have to play "Smells Like Teen Spirit"? Well, I mean, I will admit I was not aware of Nirvana as a band before "Smells Like Teen Spirit" took over my high school, Unionville High School up in Markham, Ontario. Boy, I mean, I could go on about "Smells Like Teen Spirit." I remember my high school buddy Ian Hardy. I was trying to explain Nirvana and "Smells Like Teen Spirit," like, why did I like this song so much? And I said that like Nirvana sounded like Sting, Sting from the Police. So I don't really know about that comparison now, but I think again I was speaking to the pop sensibility, but it's like it's Sting in a metal band or something. Like I'd never heard anything like it at that point. Prior to Nirvana, I was I was into heavy metal. Bands like Metallica and then hard rock bands like Van Halen and Pantera and, bands like that, which are fine bands. But, like Nirvana, "Smells Like Teen Spirit" came out, in the fall of 1991? And then that video, "Smells Like Teen Spirit" on Much Music here in Canada, produced by, recorded by Butch Vig, 1991 at Sound City Studios in California. And that's the studio that Dave Grohl's gotten all excited about. And he now has the mixing board, right? And he did that whole documentary about Sound City. And okay, so here we go. Here's "Smells Like Teen Spirit" and a really amazing pop song. And this song really changed my life. I'm not kidding. It made me stop wanting to be somebody else. It really did. In addition to, and then one of my favorite, I was just thinking about this last night, one of my favorite "Smells Like Teen Spirit" memories is being up in like York Region somewhere in Ontario, Canada, and like a bus, like a van, like a minivan, a family minivan full of teenagers drove by, and in the back, the minivan was just blaring "Smells Like Teen Spirit," and there were all these kids in the back, just going wild in the jumping around, screaming along to "Smells Like Teen Spirit," and that pretty much was a great, that pretty much described the scene in late 1991, early 1992 in York Region, where I grew up in Ontario, in Markham. People are just going wild for "Smells Like Teen Spirit." We'll be right back. Smells Like Teen Spirit from Nirvana. As they say in Canada, Nirvana, and elsewhere, Nirvana. But either way, we'll do fine. That was Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana from the album Nevermind, 1991. Okay, I want to play a live track. This is, okay, this was first released, I guess, 97 on a live release called Live from the from the Muddy Banks of the Wishka. Yeah, from the Muddy Banks of the Wishka. And this is a, I'm going to actually play two tracks, not in a row, but this is the first song I'm going to play off of that release. It was actually recorded for MTV Live and Loud in 1993, and Live and Loud, that's out now, the video, and it's really, I had it a long time ago, let's say, but at any rate, if you don't already have it, check it out, MTV Live and Loud. And so this is a live recording of Scentless Apprentice, which was originally released on In Utero, Nirvana's last studio album. And I just want to play this because, I mean, I saw Nirvana live at Maple Leaf Gardens on November 4th, 1993, and it was a great show. I wish I could remember more from it, and that came out the wrong way. I was very present, but I thought I was going to see Nirvana again after that, but I didn't. Kurt was gone. So I really like this recording of Scentless Apprentice because it just, you get a real sense of Nirvana live, but also, like, this is Nirvana in late 1993. They were at the top of their game. They had, Dave Grohl on drums, now of the Foo Fighters, and he's played with Queens of the Stone Age and Probot and lots of, he's quite the drummer. They also had Pat Smear on guitar, along with Kurt and Chris, and they were just like just a well-oiled machine. That's why I want to play Scentless Apprentice, apparently inspired by a book, Perfume, by Patrick Susskind, and according to Kurt, as revealed by a Much Music interview conducted by Erica M. in 1993. Scentless Apprentice, what can I say? I mean, the miking of Grohl's drums and just Grohl's drumming in general is amazing. There's this real wall of guitar, aided in part by Pat Smear. It's just a great live track. The tempo to me seems a bit sped up. I don't know if it's just me or if it's just because of the energy of their performance, but it really does seem like the song is maybe a little bit fast. And I think the band was just really into it and just, on fire. And I also, I don't know, I can kind of feel sparks flying off of this track. You know, it's just, it really seems to be creating sparks. It's on fire. It's got so much energy. I just love it. So after hyping it that much, I should probably play it now. Here is Scentless Apprentice Live, 1993, MTV Live and Loud. We'll be right back. Okay. So the waveform, the waveform monitor on the computer here recording looks pretty juiced, pretty maxed on that. So, well, hopefully that didn't clip too much in the recording. Yeah, so that was a live version of Scentless Apprentice. Based on the reason for this meeting, this radio show, this next track, you know, I want to play it, but it does bother me. The first time I heard this song, it was after Kurt passed away. I was at Trent University in Peterborough, and I'm probably through campus radio at Trent Radio there in Peterborough. I met some guy, or some guy heard me on the radio, I can't remember, but he was like a big internet guy, well, pre-internet guy, very early internet, Pine and alt.music.nirvana internet, and anyways, he had all these bootlegs, and I didn't have a CD burner, I didn't have even a tape deck at the time to dub stuff, so I just listened to the stuff and gave it back to him, and, but anyways, on there was this track called I Hate Myself and I Want to Die, which apparently was supposed to be, I don't know if it was a joke or not, or apparently the whole thing was a joke, but, you know, it didn't really seem like a very funny joke to me, but anyways, it's just, it's a great song, and the way I finally got to really hear it and have my own copy was around 2000 during the height of Napster. Right. And I got to download Napster. And unlike a lot of my Napster recordings, this one is actually fairly good quality. Based on the title of the track, it is hard to listen to. And I'm wondering, you know, if this was maybe yet another one of Kurt's attempts to sort of self treat himself or talk his way, scream his way through his mental illness. I kind of wish he had gone to the hospital some more and talked to some other folks, but he didn't. So here is I Hate Myself and I Want to Die. And to make it an even more disturbing track, it's got an intro by Beavis and Butthead that I have to play because it totally gives a tone of the period. I guess this was on a compilation CD in the early 90s, probably 93 or 94, and probably 93, and it was this Beavis and Butthead compilation, and apparently Kurt was a fan of Beavis and Butthead, so I am going to play the version with the Beavis and Butthead intro.
Please welcome Beavis and Butthead.
Shut up, Beavis. That's not how it goes.
cool.
So, like, here's one we just wrote.
Running, nothing running.
kicked ass.
Yeah, yeah. It rolled.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with Beavis and Butthead more. That did rule. That kicked ass. That was the unfortunately titled I Hate Myself and I Want to Die by Nirvana. And I want to move along here to another track. And I actually, this is a track I hadn't heard until 2004 when the sort of box set with the lights out was released, Nirvana box set. This is a track called Token Easter Song, recorded in 1989 by Steve Fisk, same time as Even in His Youth, same recording time. And it's got Chad Channing on drums. And yeah, it's a really great early Nirvana track. And I like it. I also like the Chad Channing's on here. The Nirvana is to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame middle of April, like April 10th or something. And there's this controversy, of course, being Nirvana, that only Kurt Cobain, Chris Novoselic, and Dave Grohl are going to be inducted, not Pat Smear or Chad Channing. I agree that Chad should be inducted, because even on Nevermind, that Grohl played the drums on, a lot of those songs, like, Chad had been playing those. And someone on Twitter, actually, at Rasmus Holdman, I think it was, or no, some other Nirvana fan site on Twitter, said that they're hoping that basically whoever performs to represent Nirvana, that they'd kind of trash the stage.
Thank you.
Ah, I like the little cymbal at the end there on the drums. That was Token Easter Song, recorded September 1989 by Steve Fisk. Want to get all my 10 songs in here. This is 10 for 20. I'm playing 10 songs, 10 Nirvana songs, 10 original Nirvana songs. This is a song called Milk It. It was recorded by Craig Overbay in January of 94, just a few months before Kurt's death, probably one of their last shows. Recorded in Seattle by Craig Overbay, mixed by Andy Wallace. My memory associated with Milk It, originally from In Utero, and this is the version that released on From the Muddy Banks of the Wishka. I remember distinctively listening, Nirvana was playing Milk It live, and in the chorus, there's a part, there's a line that Kurt screams, doll steak test meat. And I remember the crowd just specifically there were women at Maple Leaf Gardens that night were, I guess, near where we were seated, or I don't know, but they were just screaming really loud, high pitched, you know, doll steak test meat. And it just, you know, sent shivers up my spine. And when I think about it, it still happens. So here's another taste of Nirvana live. This is Milk It. Let's try that again. So we got Nirvana there performing Milk It live. Want to make sure I get in all my 10 tracks here. Moving right along. This is, simply put, this is my favorite Nirvana song. It's the first Nirvana song I played on guitar. One of the first songs I learned on guitar. It's something to do with the watery guitar. It's watery, but in a good way. Good water. And yeah, people say it's kind of inspired or sounds like Killing Joke's 80s. And some of the lyrics, again, are haunting. But yeah, this is my favorite Nirvana song, Come As You Are, off of Nevermind.
As I six color pictures all in a row. I'm a marigold. He's there, case I won't get off. He's scared, cause I won. He's there, case I
That was Marigold, written and performed by Dave Grohl. Apparently, Kurt didn't even play on that. I don't know. I think I hear Chris playing bass. But really, I went right in from Come As You Are into Marigold there because I'm short on time. Marigold was from the Heart-Shaped Box B-side. And I'm really out of time, so I got to go here. I want to leave off with... one last Nirvana song. This is Pennyroyal Tea, and this was supposed to be Nirvana's third single off of In Utero. It was Steve Albini, of course, recorded In Utero, and Scott Litt did a couple of remixes. This song, Pennyroyal Tea, was supposed to be the next Nirvana single, but it was never. It was all set to release, and then Kurt died. It was never released, at least initially. But this is I really like this version of Pennyroyal Tea. They cut out Kurt coughing at the beginning, which I don't like, but I do like the extra vocals and the acoustic guitar that was added. So I'm pretty much out of time here. This has been 10 for 20, a celebration of the music of Nirvana to mark the 20th anniversary of Kurt Cobain's death. My name's Stephen James May. I'm a Nirvana fan. I've been trying to get through this without getting emotional. But I do miss Kurt. So here's Pennyroyal Tea. Take care of yourselves. Bye.
I have very bad posture. Acids.